public. Actually, Amanda Moser, Ms. Moser, are you online?
This is Amanda Moser.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you're ready, we'd love to hear from you.
Of course. Thank you so much. Through the chair, thank you for this opportunity to share some of the projects that we're working on and how this is what you're discussing to support it. This is Amanda Moser, and I'm the executive director of Anchorage Downtown Partnership. We're committed to a clean, safe, and vital town. And one thing that we've been working on is how can we support our downtown community as we navigate these uncertain times. And one thing that we've been researching and see happening worldwide is that recovery is happening in our public spaces, and people want to be able to physical distance and come out into the open space. So we have been working on a project to shut down some roads in the downtown area and to allow restaurants to expand, shops to expand, and folks to come out into these public spaces. We recognize that this is an opportunity to stimulate our economic activity, support small local businesses, encourage physical distancing, and allow for human connection. We are not meant to be isolated. We are meant to connect and be together. And so we support allowing restaurants and bars to expand their license premise to allow for outdoor seating that will allow for that physical distancing. We have been working closely with the municipality of Anchorage in this process to both shut down these roads and this conversation about expanded license premise. And I'm available if folks have questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? And we'll hang on, and there may be questions come up in the course of this discussion, so I appreciate your testimony. Anybody else online that has things to add to this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is the Municipality of Anchorage, if you'll indulge it.
Yep, by all means, please. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris Schutte, Director of Economic and Community Development for the Municipality of Anchorage. I'll keep my comments brief as well so that you don't hear the same thing over and over again, which is this is a very important, very needed temporary modification that we fully support. As you heard from Ms. Moser and from Ms. Oates, we are working closely with our partners in the industry to create ways for them to operate during the COVID-19 pandemic, whether they are a marijuana licensee or an alcohol beverage licensee. We support this move for all of the reasons that were highlighted by both of those women. We're especially excited about the placemaking efforts that the Anchorage Downtown Partnership is leading, but also are very interested in supporting our other businesses that are located in places outside of downtown who have put together similar proposals on ways that they can temporarily expand their footprint in a physically distant COVID-19 manner. To the extent that you've heard comments on the language in the draft form, I would like to echo the comments made by Ms. Oates, particularly around the expiration date and the confusion that I think the current language might create. For all intents and purposes, the occupancy limits have been lifted. There are physical distance limits that are in place that have the effect of artificially limiting the occupancy. But for all intents and purposes, occupancy is at 100% currently. So we would suggest that that language be removed and that the expiration date be tied to the expiration of the governor's declaration of emergency. Secondly, like Ms. Oates pointed out, there were comments earlier about seeking local approval prior to submitting this form to AMCO. I would prefer that it stay AMCO first, simply because many of our existing codes and policies do require that the state form be either submitted or completed prior to coming into the municipality for local approval. So in order to keep things functioning largely the way they have, we would recommend that process. Other than that, I just want to reiterate our support for this initiative. Would like to also say thank you to AMCO staff and director for being so accessible during this interesting time. And we really appreciate all of the work that they've done on behalf of the licensees and on behalf of the city. If you have any questions, I'm available. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Okay, anybody else online?
Mr. Chair, this is Jason Motika with Fornese Brewing Company.
Hey, go ahead.
I'd just like to say, you know, here in downtown Anchorage, we have opened up here in the last couple of weeks, and we've seen a significant impact on our revenue numbers from previous years, and in excess of, you know, 50 to 75% down, and partially because of obviously the tourists, but the separation distances, as the Schutte recognized, are substantially impacting all Anchorage businesses and Alaskan businesses, right? So, you know, those separation distances that for operators who are abiding by them are creating a significant impact. And so, you know, my belief is that by creating additional spaces for people to come and gather outside potentially will hopefully offset a portion of that. No one really knows by how much, but at least we're trying to offer some kind of guidance. I mean, my expectation is, like I was talking with some other people this morning about, is demand has fallen off for a lot of, you know, in the hospitality industry in general. Demand has stopped because people have stopped going out. And hopefully this will help encourage people to come back out in an outside environment that will go ahead and provide businesses some relief in these challenging times. So those are my only comments, and hopefully this will give businesses an opportunity to go ahead and try something new to generate some additional sources of income.
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
This is Leanne Thomas from Juneau again.
Go ahead.
And I'll try not to repeat what other people have said, but I want to emphasize the quickness of being able to respond and get the answer back from the temporary floor plan, because in Juneau, the summer months are very short. So if you're not going to change the fee, it, for people that just have a little space for outdoors, it's going to be really hard to recoup that fee. And it's not a permit change, so I don't see why it has to be $250, which I think it sounds like you're trying to work around. But if they don't do it quickly, there's not that many sunny days in Juneau. And by August, the opportunity to do this is gone. So I think the quick reaction from the board and the staff there is the important part in this situation. And little businesses, like I think someone said that some businesses won't be able to take advantage of this. Well, some business didn't get to take advantage of the curbside delivery or the home delivery. Even if a business can take advantage of this with two or three small tables that their employees their patrons can come feel comfortable drinking again at their establishment, that helps. Every little bit helps in these times. So the quick response is going to be very important in this situation.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Good feedback discussion.
Yes. This is David Caldwell from the Moose Institute in Beartooth, and I would like to thank you all as well and echo many of the things that we've heard, but most importantly, in order to make this process as fast as possible, I would love some guidance at the end of this discussion, if it is accepted, because we have gone through the process and everyone has been very helpful, but we're still on pause, kind of waiting to know when can we execute, because every day that goes by for us is, like everybody, you know, one we didn't get a chance to grasp. So thank you very much for everything you're doing, and please advise.
Okay, appreciate it. All right, we hear you. So any other comments from the public to add to the discussion? All right, I think...
Yeah, I'd like to make...
go ahead.
This is Paul Thomas. I just want to reiterate the 100% isn't 100% in our current environment. People are still, you know, trying to social distance, be good business owners, so we need to remove that. The other thing is, you were talking about the fee, and I understand that a fee has to be charged, but I don't think there's anything in statute that says the fee for AB 14 can't stay at 250 and AB 10 or AB 15 rather can't be $15. You know, we charge a fee, but let's make it substantially less. I don't know why that can't happen. And the third thing is the quickness of this. When I listened to the conversations in the last meeting where this came up, I thought this was basically already in effect. We were just waiting for this memo to be drafted. So the faster we can move this, the better. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chair, it's Joan Wilson. The regulation does not identify a form number. It simply says if you're going to be submitting a new drawing, and in case you can do this without a drawing, which I don't think is possible, you can't set a new fee like that. You can do what you said, which is create a regulation to waive or return it, but that's going to have to be a permanent project. That's why I think the better course is delaying the collection date and or doing that regulation project and returning the money when you can.
Is there a mechanism to do a partial payment?
You can make any mechanism you want. You can make it. It just says you must pay.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't say
without
when.
A regulatory, like we collect some now and we'll get the rest later, but later never quite comes.
It could be at license renewal, because what's the impact of not paying the fee? It's a violation of a reg, and then that can be a notice of violation, and it could be a condition of renewal. I could think of a lot of ideas for you. I just can't say don't charge it.
Right. Okay. And we want to have some threshold, but $250 seems arbitrary and somewhat steep.
Right.
So
I hear you. If it weren't in your reg, I would say otherwise.
Yep. So what I'm hearing, there's been some good comment. I think the comments regarding the 100% occupancy, those are well taken. I think that does not speak to the realities of social distancing and public sentiment in these difficult times. So I would be fully in support of removing that portion of the language, but still keeping it tied to the governor's health mandates. That would
Mr.
be my
Chair.
Only suggestion for revision. Go ahead, John.
I heard what the industry said, and if this is a matter of consumer concern about going out, that concern may last past the lifting of the social distancing. So, I could see why you would put that target date in there, but you might even be reconsidering that if the public still wants a larger distance between where they're sitting.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's a current mechanism, and that was kind of the genesis for my thought process on if operators choose to do that based mm-hmm. on their customers' demand, that there is a process in place for that already. It's an AB 14. It's a permanent change.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So, and November 15th, I don't imagine there's going to be a lot of people wanting to sit outside. So,
another good point.
So I think it will expire on its own, and as the landscape changes, as it inevitably will, that we have mechanisms in place to mitigate that already, so we can maintain the integrity of the process and still allow for a hopefully very streamlined approach to allow relief to licensees without having to jump through too many hoops, but maintaining regulatory control at the same time. And so our enforcement guys know what they're looking for, and it maintaining order for public good is important, and allowing this is also important. So I think this is almost an easy one. So what do we need in terms of action as a board to specifically delegate with our intent to allow this to happen and give Interim Director Klinkhart the ammunition he needs and the guidance as well. Do we have, with the modification discussed regarding the 100% number and the process of, the kind of streamlined process that's been proposed, is there a clear enough definition of the framework for how this will work to adopt it as a delegated function with guidelines as is presented now. I guess that's correct. That question is to you, Link.
Yeah, let me just make sure, because, and I'm sure Carrie can help me too, as I've been trying to write this so that you can even put it into a motion, if you will. Okay, so basically, this is a policy directive to allow temporary expansion of licensed alcohol premises to help businesses serve the public and keep them safe based on acceptable applications. Guidelines include that we're making a change to the current form to communicate that the temporary permission will end when the governor's emergency order is removed. Contingent on social distancing rules and practices for the licensee, must be permissible under local law, no non-contiguous expansion, disclaimer the licensee agrees to follow local rules and permitting. Carrie, did I miss anything?
I believe you covered it, sir.
That would be my recommendation to start as a motion there.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, just one discussion item with the fee, with the local compliance. I don't know if you recall at one of our last meeting, we did have a concern that someone was permitting, I think it was curbside delivery that may not have been permitted under local law, and we simply relied upon that applicant's assurance that it was. Now, in that case, it ended up being all right, but that's the risk you take in not requiring local sign-off, is that we're licensing something that's not permitted. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be downstream consequence for that entity.
Yeah.
But I just wanted you to think about that in your...
Yep. No, and I think that's an important feature of what we're proposing here, and having a parallel, we're leaving the normal process intact, but allowing this emergency streamlined temporary process that fits within the regulatory authority. But the flip side of it is it could be quickly taken away also if there are clear and present violations. And so I think that also, as has been communicated in some of the past forms regarding curbside delivery and or curbside pickup and home delivery, that, you know, if you screw this up willfully as a licensee, that, you know, the privilege can be revoked and would be revoked if it was in the best interest of the public.
Through the chair. And one more point of clarification. Clink said it, that you're delegating authority. Clink already has the authority for expanding premises of licensees. You're delegating authority for him to expand them of restaurant designated permits. And all the requirements would be the same. He still needs that guidance. But I just want to clarify, you might have different kinds of entities that are falling under one regulation and one's falling under another.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, is that, Clink, I know you got some, is this is not necessarily specific to an RDP as home delivery and curbside. Well, home delivery was narrowed to a restaurant, eating place, or an RDP. But what we're proposing here is any on-premise licensee.
Great. Let me add that so it's clear.
So that would include a BDL without a restaurant designation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no plausible way a package store is falling under any of this, correct?
No, this is narrow. Yeah. This is specific to on-premise.
Got it. All right.
Okay. And the other thing I would like to add in talking with the staff, I think if we can do it, we would probably prefer, and I think maybe licensees might, is to make the fee, just place it on hold for 12 months until after the application is submitted, just again with everything else we're trying to do. We'll have a list of everybody who applied, and in 12 months, I think a lot of folks are going to be much better off, and we can then, you know, send them a notice, say, hey, please pay this, and I'm sure that they will be happy to 12 months from now. That's at least the wish of the staff. Over.
Okay. All right, and that seems fair enough, and we can burn that bridge when we get there. Okay. So we've got, I think, some clear guidance. Any further discussion, or does anybody want to make a motion to adopt these recommendations as guidance for our director and helping him implement the authority he's already got?
Mr. Chair, this is Sarah Oates. I have just a clarification question.
Mm-hmm.
If a BDL or an RDPL or a license type with an RDP wants to also expand their RDP area, usually that's a separate form. Would they be going through the normal process there too, or
Good question, and I think for purposes of what we're describing here as a parallel temporary process, that that might be something we want to append to this form and leave the other designation intact, but it would be as a licensee, are you declaring that this will, are you going to bolt on your existing RDP privileges and that it's doesn't modify the existing one? It would be an additive temporary feature, but without having to go through the process, the permanent process, would be what I would envision.
That would be most helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep. So, Clink, does that make sense from a regulatory perspective on rubber to the road kind of thing?
If I could just get some clarification as to a good example so I have a vision in my head so that I can communicate this to the staff.
So it would be a downtown restaurant that was a beverage dispensary licensee that had a restaurant designation. And so they would go through this form to temporarily modify or add to their premises.
Yeah.
But the restaurant designation part is tied to the AB 14, and to not have to go through the refiling the restaurant designation, it's allowing that extension to occur in a temporary manner without going through that separate process.
Yeah. Okay. We can make that work as well.
So, I mean, I think that's a good point, but I think it's a no-brainer. If you can serve food now, why wouldn't you be able to do that in your expanded premises? So, without having to go through a bunch of paperwork. So, okay, well, cool. Any further questions or clarifications on the guidance we're proposing? Hearing none, I guess, is there I'll entertain a motion from the board to adopt these recommendations for temporary expansion of licensed premises for on-premise licensees, as has been discussed. And these are guidelines that are helping steer our director and staff in helping industry. So I'll entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
All right. A second.
This is Rex. I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. Hearing none. Sarah, how do you vote?
Yes.
All right. Dana?
Yes.
Rex?
Yes.
And I vote yes as well. So motion carries. And so the form will get tweaked with 100%. And look onto the MCO website soon for guidance on how to proceed with this. With hope, we can get some staff support from our housing agency to help us out in this process. So,
yes, Mr. Chairman, my goal would be, just so you know on the board, my goal would be to have these changes and have this document up in the next 24 hours. And so we'll start getting them, and we will try and get the licensees approved and move forward, and also clarification if there's issues and stuff. So again, I would just stress to all the licensees, please try to keep it simple. Try to show your security plan, how you're going to control it and keep it safe. And let's do what we can to make this work. So thanks to everybody. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. We've got a couple of other topics for future discussion by the board and the alcohol mailbox, which hopefully you've all read. I think a lot of the comments have actually been addressed by our actions. So we're doing well on that. So our next meeting, July 7th, 2020, Clink and I will discuss the time of that, and I'll kind of pull the board quickly here to try to make it the least inconvenient as possible, and it'll be to capture some of the licensees that we didn't get in this current round, and there were a couple of other items that were going to be carried forward. So it'll be a special meeting, but with notice, and we're going to do regular business. So,
Mr. Chair.
Yep, go right ahead.
This is Jane again. Sorry, I am working on these emergency regulations that are going to be permanent for a little bit. And I'm counting the days. I don't have my map quite right yet, but I think you're going to have a meeting on the week of the 13th of July to adopt these regulations. So would you want to move that 7th of July meeting to whenever we have this meeting?
No, I'm thinking out loud here. Knowing that there are a pile of licensees that are waiting for our board to take action, and you know, finding that balance between capturing more of that and or whether or not we call another dreaded special meeting.
Okay, sounds good. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that.
Okay. Yeah, I think if we do a very narrow focus, we just do a single issue, that one item, and keep the staff workload to a minimum on it, and do that under the emergency regs, guys. With hope, we can minimize the pain of us all and keep the process moving.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Are you accepting any other comments about regarding scheduling our meetings for the public?
Not at this time, just in the interest of efficiency, but we recognize that the public process is not, given the technological limitations, is not what it should be, and we're definitely mindful of that. And we'll keep your eyes peeled to the AMCO website for the public notices and the meeting materials that we will, we're continuing to try to be as transparent and open as we absolutely can, knowing that that's critical to our function. So,
okay. So, thank you.
But appreciate that. Unless there's the other topics for future discussion, I'm going to kick that can down the road. But I encourage each of you as board members to think about the things that, as you came onto this board, and the things in your experience that you see as ways to do things better, both as a representing the public interest and from your perspective, and things you see that could be better. This is a good chance to kind of tee up what I call a strategic look at how we function as a board, and how to do that better. So that's my intent, and I want to start that thread. I had just listed some of those, and some of them are long overdue, so I hate to kick it down the road, but we got a lot done today, and I don't imagine anybody's got an appetite to stick around for another half hour or more and talk about this unless somebody says otherwise. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Rex. I'll make that motion.
All right. Have a second?
Second.
All right. Hearing no objection, meeting is adjourned. I appreciate all of your guys' input and work. So thank you, and staff.
Thanks, the chair and the board, staff. I appreciate it.